प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 5 थ्रू 7 टेक्स्ट 5 एवं मासं व्रतं चेरु कुमार्य कृष्ण चेतसा भद्रकालीं समानर्चुर भूयानंदसुतपति एवं मासं व्रतं चेरु कुमार्य कृष्ण चेतसा भद्रकालीं समानर्चुर भूयानंदसुतपति एवं मासं व्रतं चेरु कुमार्य कृष्ण चेतसा भद्रकालीं समानर्चुर भूयानंदसुतपति। एवं इन दिस मैनर मासम एन एंटायर मंथ व्रतम देयर वाव चेरुहु दे एग्जीक्यूटेड कुमार्या द गर्ल्स कृष्ण चेतसा देयर माइंड्स एब्जॉर्ब्ड इन कृष्ण भद्रकाली द गॉडेस कात्यायनी समानर्चु they properly worshipped bhuyat may he become nandasuta the son of king nanda pati my husband translation thus for an entire month the girls carried out their vow and properly worshipped the goddess bhadrakali fully absorbing their minds in krishna and meditating upon the following thought May the son of King Nanda become my husband. Text 6. Ushasyuthaya gotrai swair anyonya baddha bhava Krishna muchair jagurryantya kalindyam snatu manvaham. Each day they rose at dawn. Calling out to one another by name, they all held hands and loudly sang the glories of Krishna while going to the Kalindi to take their bath. नद्या कदाचित् आगत्य तीरे निक्षिप्य पूर्ववत् वासांसि कृष्णं गायन्त्यो विजह्रुः सलिले मुदा One day they came to the river bank and, putting aside their clothing as they had done before, happily played in the water while singing the glories of Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this incident occurred on the day the young gopis completed their vow, which was a full moon day. To celebrate the successful completion of their vow, the girls invited young Radharani, the daughter of Rishabhanu and a special object of their affection, along with other important gopis, and brought them all to the river to bathe. Their playing in the water was meant to serve as the Avabhrita Snan, the ceremonial bath taken immediately upon the completion of a Vedic sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows. It is an old system among Indian girls and women that when they take bath in the river, they place their garments on the bank and dip into the water completely naked. The portion of the river where the girls and women take bath was strictly prohibited to any male. And this is still the system. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing the minds of the unmarried young gopis, awarded them their desired objective. They had prayed for Krishna to become their husband, and Krishna wanted to fulfill their desires. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So we are reading the section where Krishna stole the garments of the unmarried gopis. We have this song, Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Pravesha. In that song we find this line, Gopi Jana Vastra Hari. Krishna is described as the one who stole the garments of the gopis. And in a purport to that song, Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada gives a warning. He says, because the gopis wanted to become wives of Krishna, therefore Krishna accepted their proposal. In order to show them the mercy, he stole the garments. Nobody else can touch it. That is the purpose, but people do not know. Therefore, Krishna Leela has to be heard from a realized soul, or this portion should be avoided. Otherwise, we shall misunderstand that Krishna took away the garments and he was very much fallen, a woman hunter. Not that. He is Supreme Lord. He fulfills the desire of every devotee. So Krishna had no business to see the gopis naked. But because they wanted to become his wife, so he fulfilled their desire. a token. Yes, I am your husband. I have taken your garment. Now you take your garment and go home. Therefore, he is known as Gopi Jana Vastrahari. So, without any purport, without any commentary by acharyas, any ordinary person who reads this section is definitely going to misunderstand Krishna's position, Krishna's activities. So generally the problem is, we try to understand Krishna's activities without understanding Krishna's position. That's the general pattern people follow who have some faith in Krishna. Without understanding Krishna's supreme position, his absolute nature, his transcendental nature, if we try to understand, directly jump into his activities, then we will definitely misunderstand his position. And that is the case with any great man or a great woman. Without understanding their position, if we try to judge their activities, we will misunderstand them. So therefore, we find many people writing commentaries about Krishna being a political person, he is a cheater. Especially in Mahabharata pastime, we find so many misleading commentaries about Krishna and the Pandavas. How Krishna was politically acting. He cheated Karna, he cheated Dronacharya. So many things. People write commentaries. Krishna's, this is the most misunderstood section. The Ras Leela and the garment stealing pastime. So because people don't understand how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead and his absolute nature, how he is actually benefiting everyone. Even those who are killed by him are ultimately benefited. So whether he kills them or he awards them benediction, it on the absolute platform, there is no big difference. So because people don't understand this this point, therefore we end up misunderstanding Krishna's activities. And therefore, there are so many unauthorized, non-bona fide commentaries about the Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata. So it's extremely important that we first hear the acharya's commentaries, the purports, and then come to a conclusion whether Krishna's activities are proper or not, ethical or not. Otherwise we'll end up making an incorrect judgment. So here in the purport we find how Prabhupada is writing, how Krishna understood the mind of the gopis. Because gopis worship Katyayani to achieve Krishna as their husband, that's why they undertook this demigod worship. Otherwise they had no business in performing a worship of the demigod. Their ultimate objective was to achieve Krishna, and for that purpose they worshipped Katyayani. And Krishna, being the all-pervading supreme personality of Godhead, he understood their minds and their intention, and therefore he wanted to reciprocate and fulfill their desires. So this is one characteristic of Krishna, that he is known as Bhavagrahi Janardhan. That means he accepts the purpose in which a devotee offers something without looking at the externals. So although demigod worship is condemned, in the Gita we find how Krishna condemns the worship of the demigods. Kamai stai sair hritagyana prapadyante nyadeva. He says people who worship demigod, their intelligence is stolen. And here gopis are worshipping the demigods. That doesn't mean their intelligence is stolen. So Krishna understands the purpose in which any person is worshipping something, or any person is offering something to Krishna. And based on that purpose, based on the intention of the devotee, Krishna reciprocates. And he fulfills their desired objective. So Krishna therefore is known as Bhavagrahi. He accepts the mood in which a devotee offers something. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find this story how Lord Chaitanya visited Ishwarpuri, and Ishwarpuri gave him a book that he had written, and he requested Lord Chaitanya to edit the book. and find out any if there are any grammatical mistakes in that composition. Because Ishwarpuri knew Lord Chaitanya is a Sanskrit scholar, Nimai Pandit, and he's expert in Sanskrit grammar. He requested Lord Chaitanya to please go through the whole Sanskrit and check if there are any grammatical mistakes, errors, and make the corrections. So then Lord Chaitanya said, whatever a devotee of Krishna writes or compiles, there can be no fault. Because it is done for the glorification of Krishna, even if there are any mistakes or errors, then that is not considered important or significant. And then he quoted a nice verse from some Puran. He said, Murkho vadati Vishnaya, dhiro vadati Vishnave. Ubhayostu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardhan. The translation is, Murkho vadati Vishnaya, a fool who is not expert in Sanskrit grammar, he may pronounce Vishnaya. So generally, just like we say, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Krishnaya Nama, Shivaya Nama. So generally, Shivaya means for Lord Shiva, Krishnaya means for Lord Krishna. So if someone has to offer something to Lord Vishnu, he may say Om Vishnaya Namaha. But in Sanskrit grammar, to say for Vishnu, the proper word is Vishnave, not Vishnaya. Just like we say Krishnaya or Shivaya, for Vishnu the form is different. It is Vishnave. So this author is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, a fool who is ignorant about Sanskrit grammar, he may chant Vishnaya Namaha. But Dhiro Vadati Vishnave. A person who is knowledgeable about Sanskrit grammar, he will chant properly. He will chant Vishnave Namaha. But Ubhayostu Samam Punyam. Whether one chants Vishnaya or Vishnave, if the mood is right, if the mood of offering is right, with devotion and love, then Bhavagrahi Janardhan. Lord Krishna doesn't care about whether he chants correctly or incorrectly, whether the pronunciation is right or wrong. He doesn't take that seriously much. He is more interested in the mood and the love and devotion with which the devotee offers. So the Lord Chaitanya explained to Ishwarpuri that whatever you write doesn't matter. Even if there is a grammatical error, mistake, Lord is Bhavagrahi. He is going to accept your offering. And so Ishwarpuri still requested him, no, that's okay, but please go and edit and make some corrections. And then Lord Chaitanya, for the sake of service, he did that. So the point is how Lord Krishna is reciprocating with accepting only that essence, the essence in which the thing is offered, the purpose is offered, the offering is made. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. In that word, the word bhakti appears twice. Whether one offers a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, that offering has to be made with devotion. That is the most important ingredient in any offering. Otherwise, we may make elaborate rituals and many arrangements, and if that offering is without the main ingredient, the love ingredient, then anything we do, the externals will be useless, will be worthless. Even in the pastime of in Mahabharata, we find the story of how Krishna visited Vidura's house. Duryodhana had invited him and had arranged a huge feast for Krishna. And when Krishna said, no, I won't eat at your place. Why? Because generally one should accept food from other's house only when he is in distress or if there is love between the two people. So in this case, you don't love me and I am not hungry. So why should I eat at your place? So then he walked away and then went to Vidura's place. And at Vidura's home, Vidura was so happy receiving Krishna, overjoyed at seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to his home. And he welcomed him with joy, tears. And there he was offering so many things. And with the offering, he was offering banana, he wanted to offer bananas, but he was removing the peels and offering the peels and throwing the bananas into the dustbin. And interestingly, Krishna is accepting the peels and eating them. He is not saying, oh, what is this? I want the bananas, you are giving me peels. So Bhavagrahi, again, how he offers, because the offering was so much saturated with devotion and love, Krishna didn't mind even eating the peels. So that's how Krishna reciprocates. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, we find a very nice story how Lord Chaitanya reciprocated with his devotees, with their love. So usually when Lord Chaitanya was based in Jagannath Puri, during this time of the year, during the Rath Yatra time, so many hundreds and hundreds of devotees would come from Bengal, Navadvip area, and come to Jagannath Puri to visit and meet Lord Chaitanya. And every year this would happen. Shivanand Sen would organize the whole thing, the whole Yatra, make their travel arrangements, accommodations, food. And many devotees would come all the way from Bengal to Orissa, to Jagannath Puri. And every year they would get some offering, some food item, something, some gift, in order to offer it to Lord Chaitanya. And there was this famous devotee, Raghav Pandit, and his sister, Damayanti. Both of them would cook so many items, so many preparations, in order to offer to Lord Chaitanya. So there is a list. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami goes on to describe a huge list of the items Raghav Pandit's sister would make for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. There would be sweet preparations, sour preparations, pickles. So there is a list. One list is given in here, interesting. Amra Kashandi, Ada Kashandi, Jhala Kashandi Naam, Nembu Ada Amra Koli, Vivida Vidhan, Amsi Ama Khanda Taila Amra Ama Satta, Yatna Kari Gunda Kari, Purana Sukuta. These are the names of some of the pickles and condiments in the bags of Raghav Pandit. What are they? Amra Kashandi, Ada Kashandi, and so on. With great attention, Damayanti also made dried bitter vegetables into a powder. So all these preparations Lord Chaitanya would accept and he would eat just to fulfill the desires of the devotee. So throughout the year, Damayanti would prepare and store it so that at the time of Jagannath Puri Yatra, they could offer it to Lord Chaitanya. And the interesting thing is, she is mentioning here that there is one item called Sukuta, which is a bitter preparation. So she is requesting Lord Chaitanya that because all the sweets are there, don't think this bitter preparation is bad or tasteless. After eating so many sweets, you may suffer with stomach indigestion. Especially when you eat too much milk, too much milk sweets, then according to Ayurvedic regulation, you get some stomach upset. So Lord Chaitanya, because he is receiving so many things from so many devotees, generally they are sweets. So after eating so many sweets, he may suffer stomach indigestion, some digestive problem. So Damayanti is saying, you accept this also, this bitter preparation, this sukuta. And this acts as a medicine for whatever possible ailments that can happen after eating these sweet preparations. So please do not neglect. Do not neglect sukuta because it is a bitter preparation. And when Lord Chaitanya saw that message, he felt great satisfaction. Not because he enjoyed bitter items, but because the way in which that item was offered, in order to cure or in order to avoid any health issues for Lord Chaitanya, Damayanti is offering this. That mood Lord Chaitanya relished so much. And Kaviraj Goswami writes there, Bhavagrahi Mahaprabhu Sneha Matralaya Sukuta Pata Kashandite Maha Sukhapaye. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he extracts the purpose from everything. He accepted Damayanti's affection for him, and therefore he derived great pleasure even from the bitter items, bitter leaves of Sukuta, and from Kashyandi, which is a sour item. So now, here Damayanti is not saying, oh, Lord Chaitanya is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He cannot suffer any disease. He cannot suffer any indigestion. So these advanced devotees, they don't, out of their love and affection, they don't consider that Lord Chaitanya is God or Krishna is God. Anyway, you can offer anything and they will take care of themselves. Krishna will take care of himself. He is quite capable. That is not the mood. The mood of love and affection overwhelms their awareness about Krishna's supreme position. And in that love, they will treat Krishna as an ordinary child. And they will take all pains to ensure that Krishna is safe, Lord, the child is safe, and make all arrangements for their protection. Even in Yashoda's case, we find how she was always in constant anxiety to make sure that Krishna is safe. No, monkeys are not attacking, the dogs are not attacking. No, she is not thinking, oh, Krishna is God. He is killing so many demons every day, so he can easily take care of the dogs and monkeys. No, out of love and affection, they constantly make arrangements and think of protecting Krishna from any material inconvenience. So there in the purport, Prabhupada writes, because of pure love, the devotees of Krishna in Golok Vrindavan and Vrajabhumi loved Krishna as an ordinary human being. So these devotees treating Krishna as an ordinary human being, and the non-devotee is treating Krishna as an ordinary human being. There is a big difference. People who are ignorant of Krishna, they treat Krishna as an ordinary human being, because they are unaware of Krishna's supreme position. In the Gita, Krishna says, avajananti ma mudha manushim tanum ashritam. Unintelligent people will treat Krishna as an ordinary human being. When he descends, when I descend in my original human-like form, and they deride Krishna for any apparent mistakes. So this is how ordinary devotees treat Krishna as an ordinary human being. But in the case of advanced devotees, they also treat Krishna as an ordinary human being, not because they are ignorant of Krishna's position, but their mood is overwhelmed by intense love and affection for Krishna. So they want to protect Krishna, feed Krishna, dress him nicely, give him medicines, as in this case. Similarly, because of extreme love, devotees like Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti thought of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a human being. But their love for him was boundless. By overeating, an ordinary human being becomes prone to a disease called Amla Pitta, which is a product of indigestion characterized by acidity of the stomach. Damayanti thought that such a condition would afflict Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So because of sincere affection, she thought that eating this Sukuta would cure the Lord's disease. Considering these affectionate thoughts of Damayanti, the Lord was very pleased. So he was Bhavagrahi. So Krishna reciprocates with the devotees' affectionate mood, affectionate gestures. And devotees also in turn reciprocate with Krishna's desire. Their whole life is dedicated towards fulfilling Krishna's desire and sacrificing everything for Krishna's service. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam we find how the coward boys of Vrindavan, whenever they would play, so then some coward boy would make a proposal. Okay, let us go and eat this fruit. Let us go to Talvan and eat the Tal fruits. So it may appear that the boys are hungry and they want to enjoy the Tal fruits. But our Acharya explained, because the boys wanted Krishna to enjoy, so they proposed that, they suggested that they are hungry. So in order to fulfill their desire, then Krishna easily reciprocates. So it's a mutual exchange. Each one wants to please the other party and reciprocate with their desires. So the boys are trying to please Krishna, thinking that Krishna will be happy by eating the tal fruits. And Krishna is thinking, the boys want to eat the fruits, so let us go to Talvan and eat the dal fruits. And then we have the whole pastime of killing the Dhenukasur and how they enjoyed. Ultimately, after killing the Dhenukasur, actually they didn't eat the dal fruit, interestingly, because it was tainted with the blood of all the asuras. So the whole thing was just to give pleasure to Krishna, give pleasure to the coward boys, and that's why the whole episode was enacted. So these five rasas we have, Sakhya, Dasya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, Shanta. All these five rasas, the devotees in each rasa, they want to please Krishna in that form, in that mood. So Krishna likes to accept service in the Dasya mood, Sakhya mood, Vatsalya mood, Madhurya mood. And there are devotees in each category who try to please Krishna in that mood. So we need not categorize, oh, this is lower, this is higher. Everyone is absolute and everyone is trying to please Krishna in their own way. So Hanumanji is trying to please Krishna in the Dasya mood. The coward boys are trying to please in the Sakhya mood. Yashodananda are trying to please in Vatsalya mood. And the gopis are trying to please in the Madhurya mood. So Krishna, being a person, he enjoys all different rasas, all different devotional mellows. And he likes to receive that service from each devotee in that particular mood. And if you try to imitate someone else's mood, that will create an abnormal situation. We try to follow our own method, our own services, and in that way we try to please Krishna. So, in this verse we find how the gopis are singing the glories of Krishna while going to Kalindi to take their bath. So all these gopis, while going to take their bath, they are loudly singing and chanting the names of Krishna in love, expecting that Krishna will become their husband. It's very similar to our daily activities, our kirtan process, our guru puja, our evening aartis, kirtan programs. It's all a loud glorification. This is the yuga dharma for this age of Kali, which Lord Chaitanya inaugurated. So for different days there are different prescribed methods, and for this age of Kali, the easiest, the most practical, the most powerful method of achieving self-realization is this process of loudly chanting the names and glories of Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya inaugurated. Even during his pastimes, we find so many instances where, especially during the Rath Yatra ceremony, so many parties he would form. 7 Sankirtan parties, each party with a lead dancer, a lead singer, kartar players, mridanga players, and each party performing Sankirtan for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya dancing in each party, sometimes in the center, and inspiring everyone to continue the kirtan. So kalau dosha nidhe rajan asti heko mahan guna. Simply by performing this loud kirtan of Krishna's holy names, all the faults of the age of Kali, so many discrepancies, so many corruption, so many things we hear every day. Just by going through a newspaper, you find practically the entire newspaper is covered with scandals and scams, corruption cases. It's exact Kali Puran, that's why it said. Kali Puran is always so many scandals. The newspaper is filled with these kind of things. You hardly find some good thing mentioned, someone being appreciated for something. As soon as there is a loophole in someone's activities, some bad character that is highlighted immediately in these media. Recently, our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu wrote a nice article on this spot fixing, that was the cricket betting scandal. And he mentioned there that how the spot fixing thing, the betting scandal, is just a minor blemish on the entire social corruption system. So generally when any such thing happens, our minds are immediately diverted towards that thing. Oh, this major scandal happened, so much money involved, crores of money involved, rupees involved, and such big cricket stars are involved, and they are indulging in these activities. So the whole mental energy of the nation is diverted to that event. And then after some time that is gone, something new comes up. And then everybody is discussing about that. So in this case, he writes how the spot fixing thing is just a minor spot in the whole big issue, which we are unable to perceive. And what is that? The issue of greed. So in modern society, a person's self-worth is equated with a person's net worth, which means a person's social value, a person's identity, his position is equal to how much money that person possesses, the bank balance, the facilities he has. So based on that, the wealth and the position he has, the wealth and the gadgets and the facilities he has, that will decide his social index in society. And no consideration is given to the person's character, principles and values that he follows in life. So if this is how the society evaluates anyone in society, then what's wrong if someone is indulging in this betting scandal? Because by indulging in this scandal, what they are doing, they are trying to accumulate more money. But what's wrong in that? Because that's how you evaluate the person. That's how we evaluate a person's position in society, by how much money that person has. So if someone is tempted to follow some illegal means to acquire money, to acquire possessions, you can't blame that person, because that's how we evaluate that person, by how much money and position he has. So if you're wondering why fixing, these people are getting so much money through cricket matches, why do they have to indulge in illegal betting and accept illegal offers of money? So question is, why not? They will definitely accept. Even if we are in that position, we will also accept. But that's how I am judged in society, by how much money I have, how much bank balance I have, how much salary I am drawing. By hook or crook, if I can get money, I am considered better in society. And if I don't have money, then my position is worthless in society. So this is the pathetic situation of our modern society, where people's position, people's net worth is given more importance than the principles and values and morals we have in life as a foundation of our life. So in order to attain that balance between how much is too much, we need the principles of the Gita, the principles of the scriptures, we need the wisdom of the saints and the spiritual master. And if your life is guided by these principles, then when a temptation comes in front of us, we will be careful not to become victims of these kind of temptations. Otherwise, as soon as an offer comes, and if our life is not guided by spiritual principles, then we succumb to these kind of things. So the best way, kalir doshan idhe, the best way to overcome these faults of society, the best way to develop the strength and the resistance towards these temptations is to loudly sing and participate in Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. We have the japa thing, the daily 16 rounds of chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and the Sankirtan. So japa is individually helpful, but Sankirtan is collectively helpful. Simply if we regularly do this, this sinful tendency in society, the sinful propensity to commit these kind of wicked activities will reduce. People wonder how by doing bhajan, by doing chanting, you are affecting the society. What is your social contribution? This is actually the contribution. simply by indulging in sankirtan, the people's tendency to perform their sinful activity reduces. When a scam comes, that is obvious, but when a scam is prevented, that is not published in newspapers. How these spiritual principles are helping avoid so much corruption, that cannot be highlighted and measured in quantifiable terms. So therefore, that is a main contribution this Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement can do, how peace and prosperity can easily prevail if everyone takes to this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Because the heart is cleaned. Cheto Darpan Marjanam. Heart is cleaned and the sinful desires, the tendency is all reduced. So loud glorification of Krishna's holy name is the actual Yuga Dharma. The easiest and the most practical method of perfecting our human life and going back to Godhead. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any comment or question, you can take. Can speak. There is no sound system person. Who's the person whose prayer is strong? The person whose desire is strong, that will be fulfilled. The question is, if one person has a particular desire and the other person has an exact opposite desire, how will Krishna reciprocate? So Krishna can resolve all contradictions. He can accommodate everyone's desire without conflicting or harming each other. Unless, of course, it is a sinful activity which Krishna may not fulfill. But if it can be accommodated within the umbrella of spiritual life, the regulated desires, then Krishna can fulfill. Based on, of course, whose desire is strong and whose prayer is strong. Anything else? Anyone else has? Mic is not there. Yeah, you heard? Bhishma, he wanted to see Krishna, Krishna in a fighting spirit. And Krishna's vow was, I won't lift any arm. I won't lift any weapon in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But Bhishma wanted to see Krishna in that virya form. So he took that chariot wheel, fulfilled Bhishma's desire and protected Arjuna. Fulfill both desires. Thank you, bro. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.